już i dla nas. Tvoju pažnju, tvoju pažnju.
Kad sam deluže pre celu noć, tam da je na pol štiri, štiri, kim sam čarku pol, aut, kam je bilo pred godi, sam čarku autobus.
Dobro, radi svoj posao isto kao i mi.
A šta će mi kad nema para?
Naredili znanje, Kitajci budu pozornostilan, ta ideja je pa zgrešena.
To se pravo u Sloveniji, mislim da bo morao po času vsaki mjesec srednjo šolo. Prihodnost to zahtjeva na takav i drug način. Ker je od tega odvisna plača, od plače pa družinsko in ostalo.
Nič drugega, samo iščejo nekakšne normalne pravice. Nič drugega.
Pač, če ne boste tle dovolj poceni delovna sila, bomo pa nekam drugam najdel dovolj poceni delovno silo.
A nas samo jedno po jedno šutaj ven.
Viza za budućnost. Oddaja o migrantskih delovcih to soboto povdne na valovih Radija Študent. Lepo podanski pozdrav, spoštovani in cenjene na tisti strani radijskih sprejemnikov. Na frekvenci 89,3 MHz smo tokrat v že 71. oddaji namenjeni migrantom v Sloveniji. Danes bomo govorili v še več jezikih kot običajno, poleg slovenščine, ćemo pričati na bosanskom jeziku. And we will also, exceptionally today, speak in English, because we will have a guest later in our studio, Mr. Faisal Hashi Warsame from Somalia. Pa ajmo sad prvo da vidimo šta se dešavalo ovaj tjedan u vezi sa migrantima u Sloveniji. U socijalnom centru ROK ovu se srijedu emitirao dokumentarni film sa naslovom U deželi medvedov, znači U zemlji medvjeda, ispod prstiju jedne vrlo talentirane mlade djevojke Nike Autor. Dokumentarni film govori o dobro poznatoj priči radnika migranata u Sloveniji. Film nekako ocrtava dvije osobne priče koje su povezane sa sistemskom eksploatacijom rada migranata. Kroz film nas vodi dugogodišnji kreator i jedan od motora ove emisije, znači Vize za budućnost, Armin Salihović. Armin je također bio jedan od prvih migrantskih radnika koji je naglas pregovorio o nikakvim uvjetima života migrantskih radnika u Sloveniji. A tu eksploatacijsku stranu naše države iskusio je na sobstvenoj koži jer je svoje vremeno radio za Vegrad. Druga priča u ovom filmu koja se isprepliče sa Arminovom je iskustvo Esada Kapića, koji je također radio u Sloveniji za poduzetnika Zorana Perkovića iz Kočevja, a preduzeće se zvalo Prenova. 110 radnika iz Bosne koji su radili za Prenovu nisu bili opljačkani samo plaća, socijalnih doprinosa i ostalih transfera, već im pored toga nikad nisu pružili čovjeka vrijedne prostore i uvjete za život. Novim krevetima, u bungalovima, kontejnerima i ne znam gdje još, su na plećima radnika čak zarađivali. Ove dvije priče može se lako projicirati na nekoliko desetina tisuća radnika iz bivše Jugoslavije, od kojih je većina bila iz Bosne. A sve ovo je naša država, pravosuđe i sve ostale institucije mirno dopustila i cijelo vrijeme šutila. Zdaj pa bomo počas poklicali Armina.
Ja.
Zdravo, Armine.
Ej, že.
Kako si?
Ba, evo, mačka.
Mačka. Da povemo, ne, ta dokumentarni film U deželi medvedov, se pravi, je uvršćen v tekmovalni program dokumentarnih, celovečernih in srednjemetražnih filmov Festivala slovenskega filma u Portorožu, ki se odvija ravno v teh dneh. In če verjamem, si ti na poti ali si že v Portorožu?
Ne, nisem v Portorožu, evo, zdaj se spravljamo, da bi šli dol. Malo se je zavleklo, ampak kaj ćemo.
Pa dobro, ajde, kaži mi kako si inače.
Ma dobro, kaj jaz vem, mislim, glede tega filma, kaj dosti pričakovati, niti ne, razumeš. Upam, da bo prišel gor, da bi se ogledal čim več, da bi folk enostavno pomislil, mislim, svojo vlogo v tem filmu, na kak način si gleda to vse. Dej. Kako živimo tle. Drugač, jaz sem v redu, mislim, živim, kako bi rekel, živim.
Živiš.
Preživim, ja.
Dej mi poveš to, recimo, ko vidiš ta film, kaj recimo se vse v tebi, kjere emocije se vse v tebi pojavijo?
To je, mislim, jaz priporočam, da se ogleda ta film kot prvo. Druga stvar je, ja, nekako sam izpostavljen v tej filmu. V neki vlogi, mislim, predstavljen sam ja kot nek, ki inicira na vse te tematike, ki nekako potegne kao fok za sabo, dejansko nisam ta. Ampak ja, smo nekako v tem filmu skušali odpreti to vprašanje na neki osebni ravni, da, da po tem filmu sploh ni nujna neka debata, da, da sploh kaj je, kako je bilo s temi ljudmi, ampak se vprašaš, kako, kaj je z mano, razumeš, ker, ker dejansko začutiš ta, ta družbeni premik, razumeš, kam to pela. In se mi zdi, da, da kaj jaz vem, kako se jaz čutim glede tega filma, meni ga je težko gledati, ker, ker ful enih emocij je vložena not in, in ko pogledam sebe, mi dol pade dejansko, razumeš. Ne, da sem razočaran, ampak sem jezen, razumeš. Ono.
Razumem, ej. Ampak recimo, ta film je bil sneman eno leto in pol, ne?
Ja, on je v letu 2010 posnet.
No, in recimo, nekih sprememb bistvenih, vsaj kar se tiče strani Republike Slovenije oziroma iz strani državnih institucij, pravosodja, sicer nekaj malega trzajo, ampak kako recimo
je
ti...
Je se trzalo na koncu od te, te, te neke leve vlade. Oni so pripravljali eno zakonodajo, ki je bolj, bolj nekako pripravila na plan sistem krožnih migracij, kar bi, kar bi pomenilo še bolj izključitev teh ljudi iz nekih, nekih statusnih pravic, kar se tiče povezanja nekega statusa tle kot tujca ali pa sploh državljana. In ja, bilo je tudi nekaj pogovorov, bili smo prisotni tudi v parlamentu na tej, tej obravnavi teh peticij, ki smo jih zaštatali tam nekje začetek 2009. Ampak ja, kaj jaz vem, nekih sprememb očitnih takih niti ni bilo, niti sploh je kaj nekako, kako bi rekel, da je šlo v pozitivu migranskih delavcev ali pa sploh migrantov.
Mm.
Stvari so ostale iste, samo ja, ljudje se lovijo po, po teh poti, kakor lahko. Individualno, ja, eni tožijo svoje firme, ki so večina jih je šlo v stečaje, mislim, ostalo je mogoče od tega gradbenega sektorja. Nekih 10%, ki se lovi nekako v vodi. Ampak eni so šli naprej, v istem tem krogu nekega izkoriščanja, delali za iste ljudi, samo pod drugim imenom, na drugem terenu. In ja, eni so obupani, pa so šli nazaj. Kaj naj bi rekel? Mislim, ja, konc koncov, ja, prispevali smo tej Republiki Slovenije ogromno, se mi zdi, zdaj, če bo ta film šel naprej, prispevali smo tudi kulturno, ne vem, po moje smo dosegli neki največji presežno vrednost, kar se tiče samih migrantov, ampak mislim, da treba dobiti nek feedback nazaj, nek, nek, nek pozitiven odgovor. Samo v času te krize sploh ne vem, kako računati na to.
Evo, Armin, lej, jaz bi mogoče sam čist za, za konc, no, ker imam še ogromno stvari v nadaljevanju oddaje. Pač ti in pa ustvarjalka tega filma, se pravi Nika, avtor, bota prišla kot gosta tudi v naslednji oddaji Vize za budučnost, ne?
Ja, no, to je čez en mesec.
Tako, čez 4 tedne, natančne. Mm.
Ja.
Okay. Armin, lej, jaz ti želim en lep dan.
Slišam, no,
slišam, da si z družino celo v avtu.
Ja, družino smo spakirali v, v neke vrečke, podobne Mercatorje. Ja, mislim, naše življenje je podobno temu, odkačemo.
Ok, Armin, evo, hvala ti, no, za, za to, no, pa, pa se vidimo, no, potem čez 4 tedne.
Pozdravim poslušalcem, pa vsem drugim, ki bojo to poslušali bolj na netu, pa se vidimo v naslednji taj. Ok.
Ok, Armin, drži se.
Ajde,
ajde, čau. Živeli. Evo, Armin mi je dal recimo eno super istočnico, ne? Zdaj, če se sprašujete, zakaj ta podlaga, in sicer glasbena podlaga, družbo nam delajo Boban in Marko Marković, orkestar, Zlate trube, to pa zato, ker sem prejšnjo soboto bil v Celju in sicer sem se pogovarjal z malimi privatniki, ki prav tako delajo v gradbeniškem poslu in so bili na sestanku v Beogradu, na sestanek pa je prišla tudi Hilda Tovšak, no? Pa ne bo ta komad njen namenjen, ne? Ne ga hara še naprej po Jugoslaviji. Zdaj pa če nadaljujemo, svima so dobro poznati glavni likovi za propast svih velikih građevinskih poduzeća, naravno uz pomoć države, politike i bankira. Hilda Tovšak, Ivan Zidar i Dušan Černigoj. Ma i Miki Muster, dobro poznati slovenski autor stripova, ne bi ih mogao nacrtati, ali ipak ako ih stavite sve skupa, ima neke sličnosti, između prije navedenih i glavnih junaka iz stripa. A ko bi mogao biti Trdonja, ko Zvitorepec, a ko Lakotnik, slušate li, presudite sami. Da ne gubimo dragoceno vrijeme i riječi na ove nekakve mutirane piranje sa dve noge koje izgledaju kao ljudi, ali to nisu, bit će najbolje da reč preuzme Jani Kovačić s pjesmom Grand Hotel Slovenija.
Dolgo smo gradili ta prelep hotel, spodaj auto, v sobi tim infotel, prostora v izobilju, tu bo za vse, posteljo še tujci vedno zlahka tu dobe.
Prekrasen, čudovit je tale naš hotel, razgled na morje, na Alpe je imel, po zaslugah sobe naj se razdele. Hitro može modri se prepire urene.
Očudovali si smo ta naš hotel, prodajat je treba, da bo posel šel.
Še pred uselitvijo so nas brznil ven, brez denarja so kričali, da vas ni več sem.
Solo!
Livrirani strežaj, uniformi zraven, lega še polcaj. Zunaj smo na mrazu in na vetru stal, brez besed, brez teksta, v pročelje smo zijali.
Kako noter so kvartali,
pa z orožjem barantali,
in otroke odprodali,
ako babe so mečkali,
in z mamili trgovali,
v kleti imigrante skrili,
o njih ceni se menili.
In kadili,
se bo žrli, se bo pili,
vse oddali, vse prodali,
i od prazna smo prestali,
izijali.
Benzinska pumpa, grote, kave, jama in WC odtok.
Pa Joža, dej eno na frajtonarco!
Grand Hotel Slovenija,
dob je za čez noč.
Grand Hotel Slovenija,
zjutraj hitro proč.
Grand Hotel Slovenija, kupi še benzin.
Na pumpi svež na gori, ne ve se, kje živi.
Udobje za eno noč. In še preden kovček pospravite in čevlje zavežete, že v vašo posteljo lega nekdo drug. Češete se v ogledalu, plačete in že vas ni. Grand Hotel
Evo, kot smo obljubili, sledi pogovor z Fajsalom Hašijem Varsamejem. Hello, Fajsal.
Hello.
S Fajsalom sva se spoznala ta četrtek na dogodku Dobrodošli v Evropi, ki so ga v soorganizaciji pripravili Društvo Humanitas, Amnesty International Slovenija, Inštitut za afriške študije in Slovenska filantropija. In sicer v znak solidarnosti z migranti, ki jim ni uspelo prispeti do Evropske unije. Na dogodku je bil predvajan tudi film Zaprto morje, ki sta ga ustvarila italijanska režiserja Stefano Liberti in Andrea Segre. Govori pa o sodi ljudi zaradi spornega podpisa sporazuma o vračanju beguncov v mednarodnih vodah med libijsko in italijansko vlado. Leta 2004 se je Fajsal kot begunec odpravil iz Somalije, natančneje iz Mogadiša, prestolnice države, preko Sudana in Libije, nato še z manjšim begunskim čovnom preko Sredozemlja do Malte. V Sloveniji živi že leto in pol, prišel pa je v okviru programa za preselitev beguncev Eurema, ki se izvaja pod okriljem Evropske unije. So, Faisal, tell me, my first question would be, as I understand, you left almost everything behind in Somalia. Your father, your mother, your friends, your past. Tell me, in the beginning of your trip, how did you arrange the trip? So
okay, and actually it was emergency trip because I was not planning to leave my country, but because of some reasons I left my country Yeah.
Okay, I will not ask you about your personal reasons why did you left, because even if you check what kind of is the political situation in Somalia is or economical situation, so for example 99% of people are without jobs. In Somalia there are more than 20 years without proper government. So the reasons are actually obvious, and even the war actually is at all the time. Now, can you describe us in general how does this journey looks like?
This journey is really horrible because it is risking of life, and you can imagine if someone travel from his country illegally without document and passing many different countries, and it is not easy. And people are risking their lives, and we risk our life to come to through this long trip to Europe.
As we discussed before, actually the whole trip, so that you came to Slovenia, it took like 7 years.
And of course, yeah, it took 7 years, but I was not traveling all these 7 years. I was traveling almost 1 year.
So to get to Libya?
To get to Malta.
To Malta?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then you spent in Malta, you spent like 5 years?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, but can we discuss, because from Somalia to Libya, you have to cross many borders. So different cultures, different countries, there are militias, police, traffickers, smugglers. Can you tell me something about this?
As I mentioned before, it is not easy to pass borders without document. And every country has his own border, and they tighten their borders with all aspects of security. And to pass these borders, you have to risk your life, you know. First of all, you escape from your country for worse things, and you're trying to go to a better place. But reaching this better place is not easy. You have to pass a lot of problems, a lot of, and it was not easy, really. Yeah.
Yeah, also you've mentioned to me that this whole trip, it cost you like 20,000 euros, approximately.
Of course, yeah. It cost some other people more than 20,000, but it depends on the lucky.
How lucky you are.
How lucky you are. Yeah.
So it depends who actually gets you in his hands.
Yeah, of course.
For
yeah.
example, like militia yeah. or police.
Yeah, of course, yes.
There is also much corruption.
There is more corruption everywhere. Everywhere in this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And people think those who are traveling from their countries to find better place, like Europe, Western countries, or any other good place or better place for their lives, the only thing I think they get easily is the idea that they will reach their aim, but mm-hmm. it's not easy to reach their aim.
Yeah, you've also mentioned me that in Libya and in Sudan, they're actually making the business out of it to hunt the
illegal. Of course, yeah. And there are people who doesn't have any other job, but their job is to hunt the immigrants, people who are traveling from their country through their country illegally. Mm-hmm. So their business is to hunt these people, to take ransom from them.
Mm-hmm.
And this ransom is not only one time, but these ransoms, it is repeated ransoms, you know. Some militia catch you and they take ransom from you, and they have to tell other militias, okay, we find these people, then the other comes and take you. So your life is like, it's not easy.
So it's actually risking your head
day to day. It's risking your heart day to day, yeah?
Okay, if I go on, also one of the obstacles, almost the biggest obstacle, is the Sahara Desert. What can you tell me about passing the Sahara Desert, like the illegal immigrant or refugee?
As you know, I think the biggest Sahara Desert is in Sudan, I think. And almost 10 days, 15 days, most of the people, they don't even succeed to pass the Sahara. And if you pass the Sahara, you still have to think many things. But the Sahara is not easy. It's not easy place to pass.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you also, what do you eat during this way? Where do you get your water? Or
you have to carry all your things.
Yeah, but you're one time during this journey, you walk by foot, or you're all the time in the car, or in the buses, or how do you travel? With which transport?
You know, it depends on some other people. You know, it is very difficult. Sometimes the transportation inside the Sahara, because it is illegal,
mm-hmm.
and if the car is broken or the transport is seized inside the Sahara, no one is going to secure you because you are illegal immigrant. So it is 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people die in the Sahara because of their transport was broken or damaged. So it's not easy, really. And as I mentioned before, it's not only in Somalia or in Africa people immigrate. This is a natural thing to human beings everywhere in this world. Mm-hmm. They immigrate because of some reasons, big reasons. As I told you before, everywhere, Afghanistan, Somalia, and all the countries which has problems start migrating from their countries because of the reasons that their country is not good. There are war, there are economic problems, there are fightings, there are killings. So mm-hmm. they try to look for a better place to live. For example, I told you in 50 years, mm-hmm. Slovenia was migrating from Slovenia. Slovenian mm-hmm. people was migrating from Slovenia and going
and
to...
And even before,
they're going mm-hmm. to Australia, they're going to America. And Romanian people, they're migrating from Romania, coming to Slovenia or going to Bosnia. You know, the problem is, in human being, we have this kind of problem, and everyone is wishing to have his country a better place to be. I really like my country to be a better place to live because I have everything in my country, but it's not stable. Today I live in Slovenia. I miss my family. I miss my people. I miss my country. I miss my food. I miss my everything. And you cannot buy your joy in Slovenia. If you have a job, if you have everything, you still need to meet your family, your mm-hmm. people, your traditional things, your environment. And everyone needs his environment. It doesn't mean that I came to Slovenia, I'm satisfied.
Of course.
It means that I came to Slovenia and I came for a reason, and I wish one time to see my country, if it will be okay. And and everyone is like that, willing to have his country to be good, you know, to be proud. Okay, once I pass in this problem, my country is now for 22 years and more without government. They have problem fighting, and I think we are the people of Somalia, they are tired now of fighting and problems, and I hope it will be okay. And everyone, there are billions of Somali people who are living out of Somalia.
Yeah, you mentioned around 5 million people.
5 million people are out of Somalia, and everyone is planning to go back to his country mm-hmm. if it is going to be stable to stay with his family and to
without warlords, without Al-Shabaab,
without anything.
Exploitation of foreign corporations, foreign governments.
Of course, yes. Because now everyone knows to be in a foreign country is not in his country, because you spend a lot of things, it's risking your life, you spend a lot of money to come to another country, and you still didn't reach your point. You only have peace, but you lose all other things, you know.
Mm.
You have peace, okay, you run from your country because of reasons. You get peace in foreign countries like in Europe, but only you have peace, but other things you don't have.
Mm.
An important thing in life is to have your family, living with your family and staying with your family in peace way.
Just to make it clear, because maybe many listeners are questioning how the Somalian people, that nobody has a job in Somalia, almost nobody, how do they get that money? So you've mentioned to me that the family from abroad sends the money, right?
Of course, yeah. And as I told you, Somalia, there is no government. And without government, to do business, to have jobs, is difficult.
Mm.
People have jobs, they're doing their own business, selling from the other people, having shops, having many other things. Okay, something is going on there, but there is no working as for government, for good business, because everyone is afraid maybe his business is going to be taken off. So people depend on their families outside abroad mostly to get money for their daily business.
Okay. If we move on, for example, when you came to Libya, it's quite known that the Libyans are mistreating or treating bad with black people. Can you tell me about something about Libya and then your trip with a refugee boat to Malta?
There's one news, and there is, okay, if I talk about the black people who came to Libya, the former president of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi,
mm-hmm.
the Libyan citizen or the Libyan people, they believe that, and the African people like to work for Gaddafi as a military or as then they say okay because the revolution
mm-hmm.
they say okay all African people are working for Gaddafi as a military or as a his then they start hunting the African peoples and mm-hmm. it was not really true and then they have problems staying in Libya.
You weren't long period in Libya?
Yeah, I mean couple of months. Yeah.
So then you arrange the transport with
yeah.
the boat?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
How much, for example, did it cost? The transport with the refugee boat from Libya to Malta?
It cost a lot of money. Yeah, it cost a lot of money.
And it was, you've mentioned it was a very small boat and yeah, it was overcrowded.
Of course, yes. Because you cannot stay in Libya, it is better to leave Libya because you have to... It is not a peace place for immigrants. Everyone is afraid to be hunted.
When you remember this trip with the boat, how many people was in boat in your case?
Oh, there were almost 27 people.
In a very small boat, huh?
Yeah.
And how long did it take us? Did it take you to
4 days?
4 days
yeah.
to Malta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and then you've stayed in Malta for a couple of years?
Yeah, I stayed in Malta for a couple of years.
And can you tell us a little bit more? What was going on in Malta?
Malta really is... It was a good country and they really welcome immigrants for a long period, almost since 2000 until now. There are billions of... thousands of migrants who travel from Libya to Malta. And Malta, as you know, is a small island. They help these mm-hmm. people. They give them a place to sleep and they give them jobs. They find for them jobs. And almost everyone gets a job in Malta. Almost not everyone, but people get a job and it is easy for them to get a job. And also they give them, especially from Somalia, people from Somalia, they give them documents to travel everywhere they want in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good country. It was a good country for the people to...
Yeah, but it was not what have you expected in Somalia, for example.
Of course, yes. Of course, yes. It was not what we expected.
Because as we've discussed before, you've said that most of the people, majority of the people, have this idealistic picture of Europe, so that you will get protected immediately, that they will provide you a job. But that was not the case.
That was not the case, and this is everyone, the way he thinks, everyone. I think if he go to Europe, he will find the highest life in his... And he will get a job, he will get a good place to live, he will get everything he wants. And he can bring his family to mm-hmm. him to get reunification for his family. And but it's not every country can do for him like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 or 4 countries in Europe can do for him like that. But not every country. So, if I have a power to tell my followers, my friends, my people, and it's better because it's better for them. It's better for them to try to know where they're going. where they are
to traveling. This journey.
Yeah, to this journey and what they are going to face, because there is a lot of problem. It's not easy to come to Europe, and it's not easy to get what you needed in Europe. You know, it's mm-hmm. not easy to get a job. It's not easy to get a house. It's not easy to get anything you want. You know, you spend your life, you risk your life, you risk your money, you spend everything you want, and at the end you get zero. You know, some people ask for deportation to their countries. They from Somalia and they say we need deportation to our country because we have our families there, they are dying, we want to die with them because we don't have anything here in Europe. And then they say, well, how can we deport you to Somalia because we don't have even an embassy to Somalia or mm-hmm. to other countries. So they don't even get deported to Somalia because they
yeah, they want to get to deported back to Somalia because
some other
of the
people, some
experience
other
here.
Yeah, some other people, mm-hmm. but they cannot be deported because of they have international protections or some other things that the law is not accepting. Mm-hmm. So life and if I have power to and I could tell the people, please, you have to know where you're going and what you're spending of your life.
Yeah, because just in the past year, so in 2011, just on the Mediterranean Sea, there was approximately 1,500 people died.
Yeah, this is only 2011, yeah. But billions, 2,000 people die.
Whom
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Their
this
names,
is
their
official
families.
Number, but who knows how many boats sank?
Nobody knows.
Which nobody
I
knew.
Know more than 50 boats which sank.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to estimate. It's not easy to mm-hmm. estimate millions of people die in the sea who didn't reach their end.
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes to Europe and he knows his friends, family, saying are in the sea, and he said, "I came to Europe and I'm somewhere here, and my friend, he died because of this. Why he died because of this? There's nothing to die for, you know, to risk your life. Nothing."
Yeah, but there is no data, for example, how many people died in Sahara Desert, how many people were killed during.
A lot.
Okay, you've mentioned that 5 million people live abroad. Many of them live in European Union. Are you connected with each other?
Of course, we have communities, we have embassies, we have communities in different countries in Europe. We have many people in UK, Sweden, mm-hmm. Norway, everywhere. Except Slovenia, maybe
okay.
There are five people from my country or six people from my country now who has the status, but but in other countries, of course, yes.
Okay, if we move now to Slovenia, mm-hmm. you live in Slovenia for 1 year and a half.
Yep.
Is this, for example, like what you have expected before you went from Somalia? Are you satisfied in our country?
Yeah, of course, yes. I'm satisfied because I'm experienced now. I've been in Europe for 7 years, 6.5 years now I've been in Europe. And I travel many places in Europe. And this is like my second home now. Mm-hmm. Slovenia is my second home. And I don't have to say, okay, there is my community in Sweden, there is my community in Norway, there is my community in Holland, or no. They feel like they are second home there, but also me, I feel it's my second home to be in Slovenia. And I hope one time I will have my community also in Slovenia. I started.
Would you like to open your own business, for example?
At this moment, no, but I will.
Okay. In this program, EUREMA, which is under the European Commission, of resettlement of the refugees, when you came to Slovenia, they promised you like a job or something. Did they promise you a job?
And If you you uh-huh. have first of all, if you get you going with Orema, your rights. They will tell you which kind of rights you have in Slovenia, and the job. It depends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one is going to take to his company and say, "Okay, they work for me here."
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on your luck how to find a job.
Okay. So I think that we will finish slowly. So thank you for visiting our radio.
Okay, thank you maybe, for having me too.
Of course. Do you have maybe some message for our listeners? Maybe you would you like to add something?
Of course, yes. I only add one thing. I say, okay, you and thank you. First of all, for welcoming me to the studio, and also appreciate it, and thanks to the listeners who are listening to me. And I would like to tell them that, okay, this is a normal thing for people to migrate from a country to a country, and we are now you are, and what can I say?
Part of the
society.
Of course.
Yeah. So we need more welcome from you and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just one question. Do you feel welcome in our country?
Of course, yes. I feel welcome. More welcome.
Okay.
And I need this welcome to continue.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ciao.
Evo, počas bomo končali. Jaz bi sam še red dodal, da bo... film sicer teh italijanskih avtorjev v sodelovanju za Amnesty International mogoče videti tudi na našem radiju in sicer v četrtek ob 6. uri. Ta četrtek ob 6. uri in sicer film se pravi Zaprto morje italijanskih režiserjev Stefana Libertija in pa Andreja Segre. Tako da vabljeni, to bi bilo za danes vse. No. Tole današnjo vizo za budučnost sem prekrmaril Luka Počivašek, za brezhibno tehnično izvedbo je poskrbel navigator Jure G. Lep pozdrav!
Šta je to, što drži danas tvoju pažnju, tvoju pažnju?
Kad sam delu že pre celu noć, tam da je na pol štiri štiri, kis sam čaku pol autka, mi je bilo pred godi, sam čaku autobus.
Dobro, radi svoj posao isto ko imi.
A šta će mi kad nema para?
Na rilu znanje, Kitajci budu pozornosilali, ta ideja je pa zgrišena.
To se pravi v Sloveniji, mislim da bo moral po času vsaki imeti srednjo šolo. Prihodnost to zahteva na tak ali drug način. Ker od tega odvisna plača, od plače pa družinsko in ostalo.
Nič drugega, samo iščejo nekakšne normalne pravice. Nič drugega.
Če ne boste tle, dovolj poceni delovna sila, bomo pa nekam drugam najdel dovolj poceni delovno silo.
A nas samo jedno po jedno šutaj ven.
Viza za budućnost. Oddaja o migrantskih delavcih to soboto popodne na valovih Radija Študent.